This is tape number 1260/7. It's the seventh cassette in a series on first year biblical Greek, sponsored by the Bible for Today and its Baptist Bible Seminary. This is the seventh class in the first semester, the fall semester, the first 3 hours of our course. The date is Thursday, October the 25th, 1984. We're taking up lessons 10 through 11 and a half, pages 39 through 43 in our Davis Beginner's Greek Grammar and Greek New Testament. That's paragraphs 57 through 70. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Well, let's open with a word of prayer as we begin our class tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this good day Thou hast given us, for health and strength, for a new week and month. And we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for these men and their families, Lord, in their endeavors, their present work, and that which they're training for, and the ministry of Thy Son in the future, that they may be faithful in the calling that Thou hast given to them. Help us now in this class. Be with those who are traveling. Be with Lou, who is sick, Lord, especially, and Steve in this court trials, wherever that may be and whenever that may last. Undertake for all of us, Lord. Be with Bill also and the other alumni of our classes. For Ruth and her daughter and others, Lord, we thank Thee for them and ask Thee now that Thou mayest use us all to the glory of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go then to the review for tonight. We had 10 to 11 and a half, which means we had that vocabulary to start with, those nine words. What would be I throw?
Balo.
All right, I throw and I teach.
Didasco.
I raise up.
Agero.
Agero. All right. I announce or proclaim.
Keruso.
All right. Keruso. And into. Preposition with the accusative. Into.
Ace.
Okay. Ace. Absolutely. The other thing. Yeah. Ace. The old German of the ice, but they would even say ace. The preposition ablative by, the accusative under. By and under. All right. Hupa. All right, hupa. I judge.
Krino.
All right, krino. Krino. A little bit of trill there. And I send.
Stello.
Like apostle, apostolo. Mm-hmm. I send stello with a double lambda. I save.
Sozo.
All right, so much for that review. Now let's take a look at the present indicative passive of rio, which is I loose. Present indicative passive. And in your test, I want you to give not only the form, but also the translation. See, I am loosed, or I am being loosed. You like that? Infinitive to be loosed. That way, it'll give us 14 forms. It'll be the 7 and 7. See, those 14. All right, starting with the singular, I am being loosed. Lu am I, lue, luetai. Luanatha, lueste, luetai. Luontai, right, luontai. All right, try again. The infinitive first one next is Luesta. All right, the present indicative mood and passive voice, I am being loosed, or you are being loosed, or I am loosed. All right, try it again. Lu am I, lue, luetai. Lu amatha, lueste, luontai. And present indicative infinitive,
luestai.
The accent there. All right, the second vocabulary, page 41, paragraph 63. I take up or bear.
Iro.
There's one that's similar to this, haireo, which is a rough breathing and got an eo form, but this is just iro. I take up or bear. I baptize.
Baptizo.
All right, baptizo or baptizo as the case may be. I eat.
Yes.
Estheo, probably theo. It could be theo, but it seemed like estheo. Right, estheo. I cry out.
Kradzo.
I am about to do something. I'm going to do something.
Mellow.
Like stello, rhymes with stello. It's got double lambda. Mellow. I remain.
Minnow.
Mm-hmm. I remain or abide. That's John 15. Abide in me. So you need it. Abideth in me. That word for abide. Minnow. All right, then the singular and the plural of the imperfect indicative active of luo, I wash. And give the translation also, I was washing. See, I was washing, just the indicative active in the past. I was washing my clothes, you were washing your clothes. All right, starting with the singular, let's say that by way of review. Eluon, Elues, Elue. Eluomen, Eluete, Eluon. There's no infinitive on that. Let's try it again. Eluon, Elues, Elue. Eluomen, Eluete, Eluon. All right, Eluon.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on any of those then? All right, if not, let's... I guess we can start in. If Phil should come in the middle of it, why, we'll give him a separate quiz. All right, let's start. Get your name and date on the paper, which will be October the 25th. And we'll take these first nine words in the vocabulary. Number one, I save. Number two, I throw. Number three, I judge. Number four, I announce or proclaim. Number five, into. Number six, I teach. Number seven, by or under. Number eight, I send. Number nine, I raise up. That's it, number nine. I'll give you the other vocabulary, which is from page 41, lesson 11. There's the six words here. Number one, I remain. Number two, I take up or bear. Number three, I am about to do something or I'm going to do something. Number four, I cry out. Number five, I baptize. Number six, I eat. Any questions on either of those vocabularies? Nine and six, 15. All right, then in addition to that, take the present indicative passive of lio, lio, to lose. Watch your spelling on that. Lambda, epsilon, omega. And that'll have seven forms, infinitive included in that.
That's the present,
present indicative passive. And give the translation. I am being loosed all the way down the thing, see. And then the second thing we have is just six forms, and this is the imperfect indicative active of luo, not lio, but luo, lambda, omicron, epsilon, omega. Luo, I wash. And put the translation there to I was washing, imperfect indicative active.
That is the imperfect
indicative active. Mm-hmm. There are 12 forms there. Any question on that? All right, do that and let me know when you finish. All right. Very good for both of you. 98%. Good. All right, let's look into the next week's assignment. We'll be taking... the eighth week, you'll be taking 11 and a half and 12, all of 12, and we will take that final exercise on page 43, paragraph 71, those exercises there. Let me just get the overall picture, then we'll go back and review it. We'll take, of course, the vocabulary, paragraph 72. There are 10 words there. Wait a minute, I guess there are 11, let me see. 11, looks like 11, yeah. Okay. And then we have those other exercises, 77. I guess that's it. So the actual quiz will just be on those 11 vocabulary words.
Mm-hmm.
Very slim pickings, isn't it?
That's all right.
That's all right. That's all right, no problem. We got two exercises.
That breaks my heart.
And we have that'll be a nice one for anybody who's missed to come in on and catch up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's take a look at the prepositions next week, starting with from, off, or away from, the ablative only, which is what?
Paul. But we had that already.
We had Paul.
See?
Well, it seemed like we did have a Paul somewhere.
Yeah, it must have been a footnote.
Maybe a footnote, I'm just wondering. Mm-hmm. It does seem familiar now that you mention it. Yes, on page 35, off, preposition from or off, used only with the ablative case. I wonder why they would have that twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that they're taking the prepositions as such.
As a block.
As a block. So I think they're giving a number of them, not all of them by any means, but they're giving quite a few of them, especially those that combine. So this is review, so that's good. Off from, off, or away from with the ablative only because, of course, it's from. Oh, yeah, that's ace again. We had that before, didn't we, too? Huh? Yeah, we had that last this time, didn't we?
We did too, we know.
So, apa, memory hints are what? Many, many indeed, but what would be a few words that would be memory hints? Apology, apology. Or apogee, and perigee, that's the space, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Apo is that farthest away, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other, perigee? It would be close, parallel, like close by. Prost on there. So perigee, you know what those terms are in the space program? The apogee is that circle farthest away from the Earth, that part of the, whatever you call that, ellipse, is it?
Yes.
Ellipse as it go around the Earth, you know, in the space program.
Around the Sun, you mean?
Around the Earth, as our
Earth.
Astronauts go around the Earth. The apogee, the point at which they're farthest from the Earth, and the perigee, that which are the closest. Of course, G is Earth, gay.
Right.
The gamma eta is gay, so probably away from the Earth and close to the Earth. That's
why don't they just go in a circle?
Well, it just doesn't the way they go, isn't that right? And there's some...
They're just different orbits.
Gravitational poles or something?
Depending upon the mission. I can't necessarily say why they would do that. Some are geocentric, which means they're moving at the same speed as the Earth is turning, so therefore it's always at the same point all the time, and some are... Mm-hmm. So there are any different types of orbits. I'm not an
orbitologist.
We have a special group of people that just deal with the orbit, so I don't always know. And those, because of the missions are always top secret, I don't know the missions.
Yeah.
We only know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I see. So that's what the ablative, the from, in a sense, because that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ace, of course, we had before, the accusative only, into. It has some other meanings. I remember we discussed last week, ace... he baptized everyone, remission of sins, be baptized, ye shall receive, for the remission of sin. That's it, for, and that's ace.
Mm.
We discussed that was also meaning because you've had the remission of sins, and ace, just like he was executed for murder, not in order to commit murder, but because he had committed murder. Say for in that sense, that's ace in that sense, very one of the uses, and also in English. For is used that way too. So there's no problem with either Greek or English in understanding Acts 2:38. All right, what's out of, or from within, ablative only?
Ek.
And of course, notice with words beginning with a vowel, it has to become what?
Ex.
So there's a relationship between ek and ex. Xe in there with any vowel, for instance, if the word ex. What do we know that begins with a vowel? Akuo is a verb. We got that yet. I'm just trying to say ago, but that's a verb. Do you have a noun that begins with a vowel?
A noun that begins with a vowel.
That we've had so far.
Take a one.
Let's see. Anthropos. How about that? Ex anthropos. Out from man. It wouldn't be ek anthropos, but ex anthropos. See, from man.
Yeah.
See that. Now, how about memory hints from ek for ex?
Ek.
Ecclesia, that's right. Ecumenical. Exit.
Exit.
Eerie, of course, is in Latin, the way out. You know, eerie. It's just. All right, and a lot of ecbatic. The ecbatic use word, that's a highfalutin word, we may not know that. Ecstatic, you know, ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
All those ek words. All right, and ex horas, ex. Don't forget Exodus, the Exodus, the way out. Paros is way, podometer is the way, and ex out, the way out. Exodus. And that's where we get the ex, because the horos is a vowel, and so you have. All right, in, used with a locative only. In, result in. Meaning.
N.
Okay, N is the N. N. And notice the result meaning of N and the locative is sometimes instrumental. Sometimes it's by means of, see. By means of something that this happens. There's a huge truck on that. Huge boy. Look, they're going to deliver.
He's backing up, maybe.
Your big kitchen or something. Maybe he wants to take Greek there. I knew Greek people. Maybe he's just bringing a film. Maybe Phil had an accident. I hope not. Anyway, what about beside? Used with locative, ablative, and accusative. All these different ones. Beside.
Para.
A little bit of a roll, Phil. Para. Any memory hit on that one? Parable. Parabole. Bole de cabalo, to call, to throw. And parable, paraplegic,
parabolic,
that'd be similar. Paragy, again, there's a paragy and apogee.
Paragrapho,
to write from one side. Beside, right? That's the basic meaning of beside. So if it's beside, it's close by, isn't it? Something beside you.
Right.
The, what is it? Miss Muffet sat in the tough of eating the person walking with spiders down beside it. That's the one I've done.
Para.
If it were in Greek. Well, that's not a Greek proverb. But Euclid has got a lot of geometric words, and of course, it's Aesop has got the fables. So if you get into Aesop, that'd be interesting to study Greek and read that in Greek, wouldn't it? See how he translates different fables. And it'd probably really be very humorous to get that. All right, now I might just take the Ben and Manny out and their discussion of prepositions to sort of put it side by side in these, now, especially with para, because you see you have three different meanings. Now, some of these prepositions mention that they just have the one case that it goes with, but some of them have many more. So, 96. And following is where Dana Manny deals with it. They're alphabetically arranged. So, for instance, apa, the root meanings, here's how he deals with it. See, he has each one alphabetized. Apa, the root meanings, off or away from. That's the root meaning. Then he says in composition, that can mean off or back. For instance, apekopsen, koptos to cut, apo to cut off, you see. And here's apo dose. Dosis is from didomi, to give, and apo is back, give back. See, so that, and when it's used in composition with another word, see, they use these prepositions in joining them with verbs, only in the ablative case, and then the resultant meaning from. See, the root meaning off or away from, the resultant meaning from. And then remote meanings could be by, as in James 1:13, on account of, Hebrews 5:7. So you see, he has a full-orbed understanding of these things, the root meaning, the resultant meaning, and then remote meanings, which in some contexts you have, which I think is very helpful. And then ace, let's look that up just since we have a little time here. Too bad the other men aren't here also, but ace, notice it says in Davis, it's used with the accusative only. The root meaning is within or in. See, now notice within. Actually, ace, I believe, originated with N, and it had ence. So N, and it was a sigma, and that ence became ace. It dropped the noon out, the new out, and you, the noon, the Hebrew, dropped the new out, and you have the ace, it changes into ace. But that's why the root meaning is within or in, say, within or in. And it was derived from N, and gradually, yeah, it was derived from N, that's what it says, right? And gradually it took over its functions. So much that in modern Greek, N does not occur. It's interesting, N does not occur. In composition, it means into or in. For instance, ace elthane. Elthane is the root word to go, and ace to go into, see? So go into. Resultant means, with the accusative case, into or unto, to or for. And then remote meanings, ace has got remote meanings, in, or the second one is upon, number three is against, number four is among, number five is with respect to or with reference to, number six, as expressing equivalence. Number seven, because of. Number eight, for the purpose of. So you can see here you've got eight resultant meanings, you know, remote meanings, depending on context. And of course, that's why you need something beyond just the one little simple one. But for now, we're just getting the one little meaning here. But this Dana and Maddie, and of course Robertson's Large Grammar, gives us a depth there and a focus. Now, ek, let's take ek. Now, that's the appositive only. And Dana and Maddie, for that one, says the root meaning is out of or from within. And in composition, out of, away, for emphasis. And then resultant meanings with the appositive case only is out of or from within. The remote meanings of ek. Number one is on, number two is by means of, number three is because of. So there's several root meanings. Now this para, well, we get in, I guess, n. Root meaning is within, in composition within or in, like n ergeo, to work in. Ergeo is to work, and n to work in. N duo, duo means to address yourself or put, you put on or something, and n duo is to put on. Mm-hmm. We get the word in duo with that. The resultant meanings with a locative case is within or among. Now notice N here with the locative only, but it sometimes is instrumental. See, Davis doesn't say that it's used with the instrumental. Dana and Maddie are the same school, Southern Baptist, and the same general school of Greek learning, both all from Robertson, A.D. Robertson School of Thought. He says with a locative, it means in, on, at, within, or among, but with the instrumental case, with or by means of. So, see, he puts an instrumental meaning on that as well. Then remote meanings, beside, is number one. Number two, into. Number three, because of. Number, well, I guess just those three. So, you see, a lot of these things can mean because of the context. But maybe this is confusing rather than helpful. Para, beside, used with a locative, ablative, and accusative. He says the root meaning is beside, which he agrees with Davis on. In composition, it means beside, and so on. The resultant meaning with the ablative case, from, and with a locative case, by the side of, in the presence of, with or before, a locative case. And then number three, with the accusative case, to the side of, beside, along, or beyond. They don't even have the remote meanings on that. That's enough because you've got so many different prepositions or cases to use. All right, let's go on to 44. What's the with, with the instrumental only? With.
Sim.
How do you pronounce that?
Sim.
Sim. Sim. All right, sim. That's hard. You know, my English, the head of my department at Jones Junior High School, where I teach in Philadelphia, Mrs. Margaret Ulrich, came up to me before the faculty meeting last Tuesday, and she said, Dr. Witt, she said, how do you pronounce the Greek word, what was it? I think it was D-R-Y. I think it was D-R-Y or B-R-Y or something. B, it had R and then Y.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I've never known that word. Suppose it's D-R-Y, you know, B-R-Y. I think I said it would be, you know, she's a French teacher. She knows French. It's just like your T for French. So she got that pronunciation. It's a upsilon, I said. And it's that same in roll the R just a little bit. But that means an insignificant amount or something. She showed me the dictionary. I said, I've never heard of that Greek word. I went up there. Of course, a lot of Greek words I haven't heard. Just the language is so full, you know, you can't sure of everything. Especially those tiny little ones that probably doesn't even occur in the New Testament, but it is a classical Greek word.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her how to pronounce it. But this sin is reminding me of that because the pronunciation. Now, that is with instrumental, a root meaning together with. And composition means with or together, or at times it intensified. Now notice some of these prepositions are intensification purposes, see, and means and methods. In other words, you take a meaning of etere, tereo means to keep. If you put soon on top of it in between it before that, soon etere, or soon tereo, that means carefully kept. Not just kept, but careful. See, it's intensification of the meaning. Intensified. So a lot of these prepositions, the same way, ek and para, a lot of these are intensification means to get a, for instance, estio is to eat. But if you say kat estio, kata, to eat up completely consume, you see. That's intensify the meaning of the root word in the verb. Resultant meaning with the instrumental case soon means together with or with. Remote meaning could be besides. All right, so much for that. Let's take a look at some of these other vocabulary words. Page 44. Send forth as well.
Apostello.
Oh, by the way, I remember him for soon. I don't know if we got that. Do we have
synagogue.
Synagogue. That's right. To group together. Synonyma. Onoma is a noun. And synonyma, a noun that's with it or means the same or never the same as it. Synonym. That's good. A lot of the soon words out there. All right, send forth is what?
Apostello.
All right, and the memory hint for that, of course, would be?
Apostle.
All right, send forth. All right, to bring in.
Ace ago.
All right, ace ago. All right, that's ace is in, and ago is to lead.
To lead and.
To bring in,
see? To lead in.
Bring in, that's right. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the little ones, indeed. It's the big ones, too, the middle side ones. All right, throw out and cast out as well.
Ekbalo.
Ekbalo. Balo means to what?
Throw.
And ek, of course, out.
Out.
That's very easy. Throw out, cast out. Let's see. Throw out, it'd be shellac. To cast out, is it? Shellac. To send out, let's see. Throw out, cast out. I think it's shellac. I believe it is.
Yeah.
It means we forgot that. Well, I'm reviewing it, so I thought, I forget to. You have to keep at it.
I'm doing a little reading. I'm not getting all the vocabs. I'm just trying to.
Just to get the overall.
I'm reading just to stay up with
the
forms.
Form, that's good. Yeah. Well, that'll help you. That'll be very good. To take or to receive as well.
Paralambano.
All right, and just lambano means to take or receive, and this also paralambano, to take, about the same, receive, to take. Probably there's an intensified meaning there for para. All right, gather together.
Synagogue.
All right, that would be like synagogue.
Right.
And paralambano, I don't know about the. Parallel, I don't know. Parallel, of course, parallel lines is parallel, but an ekbalo, we don't know about that. Ace ago, exegesis would be reading into something, leading into something, when you should be exegesis, ex ago, should be leading out from the word. All right, let's go on then. Any other questions on 44? Let's go on then to the explanations. Your subprepositions don't have an accent, you'll notice. Words that do not have an accent are called proclitics, which are the pronounced with the following words. Remember we said proclitics and enclitics. And the proclitics, pro means forward. And that, the forward means that they're pronounced with the following word. And enclitics, and of course means to lean, so and clitics, to lean on something, and that is pronounced with the preceding word. And you remember we had a reference to these, we tied in the two of them earlier. I should find that spot. Yes, page 32, paragraph 34, the second point there. When the word immediately follows without any intervening mark of punctuation, enclitic, page 63, enclitic is taken up, and proclitic on page 44. So this is proclitic right here, isn't it? Proclitic 44. See page 32. I'm going to tie these two together. See page 32. Page 44 is the one, and the other is given in those two pages. All right, so that's what that is. We don't have accents, but they're pronounced for the following word. Prepositions are adverbs specialized to define more clearly the meaning of cases, many of which come to be used in composition with verbs. Now notice, they say that they're used to define more clearly the meanings of cases. Cases were first, in other words. That's the theory that grammarians mostly assume. And then came the prepositions. Prepositions more clearly defined because the case, locative, instrumental, dative, ablative, and so on, and genitive. But when the preposition is there, you can pin it down a little more, see, to see exactly what it may be. That's what they originally came to be used for and were used for. And then they came in composition with verbs, and that's what we've seen here, like soon ago and paralambano, ekbalo, esago, apostello. So they're used for both to clarify the cases and to be in composition with verbs. Prepositions were originally free adverbs, just loose adverbial words that explain where or how or why, right? And usually modify verbs. Although lots of times they modify adjectives or they modify verbs, adverbs or adjectives. Those are the three things that adverbs go with, see. For instance, she drove, how did she drive? She drove furiously. She drove slowly. She drove carefully. See, these are all adverbs. But you can take the adverb very, and that can describe carefully. How carefully? Very carefully. See, it's an adverb, very, modify or describe it carefully, which is also an adverb. So verbs, adverbs, or adjectives. Now you can take an adjective about the, well, she was a very pretty young lady. Pretty is the adjective, but you can say again, very, is an adverb modifying pretty. How pretty was she? She was very pretty. So here's an adverb. So that's what they used to be, just free adverbs, used with either verbs or adverbs, other adverbs or adjectives, just like I suppose in English. If they're used the same, I think that they are. And then there were adverbs were brought closely, gradually into closer relation with nouns, and many of them in a closer connection with verbs. And so that's why the prepositions evolved into the verb formation with the combination of those to get the compound verb, you might say, the soon ago and so on. And then with the nouns, they became those things that help to clarify the cases. That's what he's saying there. Any question on 73?
Yes, I
all right.
I never heard of a preposition being called an adverb before. I mean,
yeah.
It's not that way in English.
Oh, no. But originally they're trying to explain what the original, these prepositions, which are now prepositions, used to be before they were used like a preposition. And they were adverbs. They're not really, since prepositions are adverbs, so specialized to define more clearly the meanings of cases. They really, in Greek, these prepositions were adverbs, and that's historic. I think that's a bit, I've never heard that either. In other words, you're confusing two parts of speech. If you say prepositions are adverbs, prepositions are prepositions, adverbs are adverbs.
Yeah, in my
but,
mind,
that's
I mean.
Right. But they, you see, by the combination here with these verbs, apostello, that's an adverb with a verb, see, and because it's send how or where, see, well, send forth, send away, see, that's used like an adverb, isn't it, because it's combined with a verb. But you put that with a noun, apo, she went apo to oiku, out of the house, that's, you see, with a noun, and therefore it would be like a preposition, we would say, because it has a direct object, out of the house, just like in English. So you see they're sort of both in Greek. In English, one is the other, but not so with Greek. All right, any other questions on that one? 74, paragraph 74 on page 44 clarifies perhaps a little bit more on that. Prepositions are used to bring out more clearly the idea of case. They help the cases. See, they clarify. The case calls in the preposition to aid in expressing more sharply the meaning of the case. Quote, it is the case which indicates the meaning of the preposition, and not the preposition which gives the meaning to the case. This is a quotation. He doesn't say where, whether it's A.T. Robertson or some of the others. Strictly speaking, prepositions in Greek do not govern cases. Take para, meaning beside, for example, with the locative, para to doulo, by or at the side of the servant. With the ablative, para to doulos, doulu, from the side of the servant. With the accusative, para ton doulon, alongside of the servant. So the prepositions used with the cases used with prepositions are the ablative, genitive, locative, instrumental, and accusative. The dative is not used with any of the prepositions, except probably engus, which means near, and maybe epi, which is upon. See, engus is near, and epi upon. But It is the case which indicates the meaning of the preposition, not the preposition which gives the meaning of the case. Now, if you can figure that one out, the case helps to define what the, how that preposition is used. Because if you have the same preposition, like, for example, in para, page 43 at the bottom, with locative case, ablative case, accusative case, obviously the case that's used says how you're going to translate that preposition, right? Mm-hmm. And the preposition is changeable because the case is used with change, and therefore the meaning changes slightly, but yet it changes. See? So that's what he's saying there. Any questions on that? All right, paragraph 75. In composition now with verbs, the preposition has two uses, commonly two uses. Notice these two. Number one, it is merely local. That is ek, balo, I throw out, I cast out, I throw out where? See, local, that's the location. Or katabaino, I'm going down, that's again location, it's place. Or then in the second case, the preposition intensifies or completes the idea of the verb. Estio, I eat, and as we said before, kat estio, I eat up. I eat down. See, I consume.
I want to kind of get a go back here a little bit. All right. On this. The preposition does not govern the case. In the case of ace, mm-hmm. which is using the accusative only, an accusative is a case where some action is applied on the person.
Mm-hmm. He hit the ball. Ball would be an accusative, the objective case.
Right.
Right.
But that means in too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to go back to the to Acts 2:38.
Go ahead.
Is that, that would be there in an accusative, and that I guess the baptism would be an action that would take place upon the to the believer as he's baptized into. I'm trying to see that action.
Yeah, repent and be baptized, everyone, for remission of sins. Every one of you, and each for the remission of sins. For, in a sense of because of remission of sins. Now, what were you saying?
Does not govern the case, I was trying to see then, in that particular case, then. Ace is only used in the accusative, and I was trying to see is only used in the accusative. I was trying to tie in how does that action apply onto the believer in this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
Into, you know, the meaning is into, and how do I get action into to get an accusative case? And I was just trying to tie that.
Well. There are eight resultant meanings, the remote meanings, see, and that's where we got on this particular ace for in Dana Manning, page 103. See, the in is one, and number two is upon, number three is against, number four is among, number five is with respect to, with reference to, number six is as, number seven, because of. Now, that would be the one that we would say, repent, be baptized because of remission of sins, the ace in that sense, for the purpose of. Is eight, which is a possibility, but see, we wouldn't have it for the purpose of remission. That's what the Pentecostals say, right? Charismatic.
But
to get action out of that.
Right. Well, in English, a direct object is not in a preposition, is it? I mean, it's never within a preposition.
No, but the direct object is a preposition in the objective
direct
case. Is that what you mean? In other words, he went into the room. Room is in the accusative. See, that's in the objective case, right?
Right.
Is that what you're trying to
do? Yeah.
See, that's why you can test it with prepositions. You never say he gave it to he, but he gave it to him. See, always in the accusative case, and that would be the objective case in the English.
Okay.
So you've got ace auton, to him, see, the same way in that sense of him. But I'm trying to figure out what else is that you're asking there, Manny, and maybe we can help you a little more. I don't know. I was just trying to get some action movement toward, and you're trying to say, well, is this really true that mm-hmm. they govern cases?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
right. I was trying to see how that eight in the particular case with ace is mm-hmm. only in the accusative,
yeah.
which means that ace is only going to be an objective or direct object condition. Which means that action is going to always be placed upon whatever's in that, whatever follows ace.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case.
I see. Actually, because of accusative
action. Because of the fact that it only takes to accuse it.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, that's the trouble. The accusative case does not always in Greek
imply action. Direct, okay.
See, that's the point. They got the accusative. They got a funny situation on page 65, but they may take that up. And there's some the cases, the root idea, see, he has a chart on page 67, see,
mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
And the accusative, the case, and the root idea, see, the nominative root idea is designation, to designate something. The evocative is address, the root idea is address. Genitive is definition, to define. Mm-hmm. The ablative is separation from, out from
right.
something. The dative is interest. Now, we think usually the indirect object, but the dative of interest,
mm-hmm.
what is interest to you, what's it to you, see,
right.
that's a dative interest. Locative is the root idea is positions, location. The instrumental is means, but the accusative is limitation. See, rather than action into it, it's limitation. The accusative limits somehow.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
that's the genius of that particular thing in the Greek. Now, let me see if I can just thumbnail sketch it there so we don't take too long, but yet we get the picture. Accusative, page 91 of Dane and Matty. It's probably the oldest and certainly the most widely used of all Greek cases. Its function is more general than any other case. It's the normal oblique case for now, unless there's some reason for it to be in some other case. And that's saying a lot. Is it a normal case for now, unless you got some other one? Pick the accusative. It's the catch-all term.
Okay.
Now, it certainly belongs to a particular, in a particular way to the verb, even as genitive is specially allied to the substantive. It relates primarily to action. Well, that's what you said there, primarily. It indicates the direction, extent, or end of action. Direction,
okay.
extent, or end. The accusative signifies that the object referred to is considered as the point toward which something is proceeding. That it is the end of the action or motion described, or the space traversed in such an action or direction. That's Webster syntax and synonyms of Greek testament. So the root meaning of the accusative really embraces three ideas: the end, or direction, or extent of motion or action. So you got three different ideas, and but either of these is employed to indicate the limit of the action, the limit. Hence, we may define the root meaning of the accusative as limitation. One says ο άνθρωπος επέμψεν, and επέμψεν is the accusative or the aorist of pempo, to send. Ο άνθρωπος, the man sent, is the translation. Ο άνθρωπος επέμψεν, the man sent. The act of sending is left without a boundary. It has no definite meaning. But to say, anthropos epemse ton doulon, the man sent the servant, immediately limits the action by the specification of its object. Or to say, anthropos eilthen tain choran, eilthen is to go, and in this case it's the heiress, the man went, tain choran is to the country, limits the motion by specifying its destination. So, the limitation. So, they've got a lot of different accusatives. Accusative of direct object, the adverbial accusative of measure, of means, of manner, of reference, cognate accusative, double accusative, the accusative absolute, accusative with oaths. Those are the six different uses. But
okay.
It's limitation on that thing. And but it's a good thing to point out. This is not a clear dictum here in this subject of who governs cases. Is it the preposition that governs the case? Case that governs the preposition? This is a debate in among the linguists, and that's why he's bringing it up. And Robertson, I think, in his big grammar, has got probably a good page or more on this whole thing, quoting different grammarians, and it gets a little philosophical.
Makes it confusing is that they give you the preposition and then they give you the case that it's used with,
yes.
which automatically, for my mind, says, this governs the
yeah,
case
that's
of whatever
right.
is going to follow that
that's
preposition.
Right. That's
then
right.
they say it really does not.
Yeah. It's the case that gives direction to the preposition. It's a little difficult,
okay.
That's right. All right, so let's see. We came to, where were we? I guess on paragraph 74, were we?
Yeah, 74 A.
Yes. We went to A. We finished.
Oh,
A and B, I guess, didn't we? Yeah, we went to different cases. By the side of the servant, the ablative part. Did we take that? C See, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Then, strictly speaking, I think we have a meaning in Greek to not govern cases.
Mm-hmm.
Take para, meaning beside, for example, with locative, para to dulo. I don't think we took that. It's by or at the side of the servant. That's location. For the ablative, which is from para to dulu, from the side of the servant. From the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the accusative, pra ton dulon, alongside of the servant. So the different meanings of that preposition, same preposition, but different case, changes the meaning of it. So that would be a good illustration for his dictum there, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A, the cases used with the preposition, the ablative, genitive, locative, instrumental, accusative. Now, what is left out? There are only five cases. Ablative, genitive, locative, instrumental, accusative. What's left out? What are the three? Nominative.
Vocative. Dative.
And the dative. That's right. So the dative is left out. Notice it's not used with any of the prepositions except probably in use, which is near, to bring something near. Acts 19, 39 and 38, and epi, which is upon. All right, any questions on 74? We had a few, but we'll pass that on. Go ahead, 75 then, page 45. In composition with verbs, the preposition has commonly two uses. Let's see, we already went, you backed up. That was it. We've covered that, now we're backing up. The one is the local, you ate down or ate up something. Bao, I threw out, or katabaino, I'm going down. That's what it is, I'm going down. But it also intensifies or completes the idea of the verb, esteo, I eat, katesteo, I eat up, or eat down. This is called the perfective form of the preposition. That's where we stopped, and then I think Manny backed up into that paragraph. All right, A, sometimes prepositions change the meaning of the verb and blend with it. So this is the two kinds in composition. It's either direction, a local location, to eat down or up or whatever, or it's the perfective idea. And then lots of this perfective idea. That's the point in the book of Colossians for gnosis. Gnosis is knowledge, for gnosko, to know. And Paul uses gnosis on occasion, but he also uses epignosis. Epignosis. Epi is a preposition I guess we haven't had yet, but upon, it means upon. That means full knowledge, complete knowledge, a perfect knowledge, the epignosis. Not just gnosis, but epignosis. So this is the perfective use, the intensification of the meaning. Very important use of the preposition in combination with a verb. All right, 76, paragraph 76. When a preposition ends in a vowel, as apo, para, the final vowel is dropped before a verb that begins with a vowel. It's for euphony again. Euphony, easily spoken. Para echo is for para plus echo. Instead of saying para echo, it's para echo. Just drop the vowel before another vowel. I provide or I supply. When compound verbs receive the augment, the final vowel of the preposition is dropped. For instance, if you have a compound verb, para lambano, I receive, but you put it into the imperfect, par elambanon. Par elambanon. See, that's a tongue twister. But you see, elambanon is the imperfect. Remember, we've had the imperfect as of, didn't we? As of tonight, didn't we have that test? Eluomen. So, be eluomen. Let's see. To wash. That's what we had for the imperfect, wasn't it? And this is. What? Let's see, this is, I'm trying to, I've lost my place here. I receive, if you said I receive, if you said I wash, it'd be eluon, right? I was washing, eluon. If it were para eluon, it wouldn't be para eluon, it'd be par eluon. You drop the alpha at the end, you see, when you have the verb beginning with a vowel, it's just dropped for you. All right, par echo is for par plus echo, I provide or supply. When compound verbs receive the augment, remember we have two kinds of augment. We have the syllabic augment, which is the syllable itself, and then we have that heightened one, page 42, the temporal augment. It's just lengthened. It goes up from epsilon up to eta, from alpha up to eta. from Omicron up to Omega and stuff. The temporal augment versus the syllabic augment. So when you have an augment, you have a preposition there which ends in a vowel. You drop the final vowel. That's what he's saying. I was receiving paralambanon. I was receiving apostello. I send forth apestelon. I was sending forth. See, apestelon. You don't say apoestelon. It'd be two vowels. Apoestelon. You don't say that. It just cut off. You have an ellipsis, in other words. You drop it out and take the vowel that's in the verb. I was sending forth. Katago. You wouldn't say kataago. And you say katagon instead of kataagon. Agon. Kataagon. It's katagon. Agon is to lead from ago. It's the heightened form of that. And it's the imperfect. He was sending forth. All right, any questions on 76? The part of A there, the preposition is peri, pro, do not drop their final vowel. Here's an exception right away. You got para drops the final vowel in the presence of vowels, but peri doesn't and pro doesn't. It just stays intact. Otherwise, I guess you couldn't realize what it was. For instance, pro ago. I go before. Peri ago. I go about. I go around. Peri is around. And so I go around. So these are the two exceptions. The others do drop their ending, if it's a vowel, before another vowel beginning a verb. Any questions on any of this from 73 through 76? And you know what I've done? I've left my microphone on the floor the whole time. Isn't that something? Oh, boy. I just try. I probably won't pick it up. The poor fellows will have to listen to it'll be rattling around. I guess they will, but all that was with the microphone. I fell up here and I didn't feel anything. There it was. So, with apologies to those who may be listening. Lou said he wanted to copy the tape tonight since he wouldn't be here, and lo and behold, it was Phil that was going to take the tape back to him. So. Phil isn't here, so I guess that takes care of Lou. Lou can't read it. All right, any questions on any of these matters here? Or take the exercises also for next time. The vocabulary, the exercises. And that takes care of that, doesn't it? That winds up what we have for next week. Take the exercise 71, exercise 77, two exercises of the vocabulary on paragraph 72, those 11 words, prepositions. All right. If we're finished with that, we can. I was going to give you a rundown of an article here. I'll give you copies of it, and maybe you can take extras for those that are absent from us. But I thought it was an interesting article that appeared in Jerry Falwell's Fundamentalist Journal, which we got just today. I don't follow the Falwellian compromise by any means, but in there was an article by one of my acquaintances, friends, Dr. David Nettleton, who's on the Council of 18 in the JRB, and he's written Jailed for Secondary Separation. And on the top it says, Editor's Note, Fundamentalist Journal has published a number of articles on secondary separation, which of course Falwell doesn't believe in. Mm-hmm. In promoting our open forum of discussion, we present another view on the subject. And Nettleton's picture is here. He's the pastor of Parsippany Baptist Church, Parsippany, New Jersey. But he takes a pretty good stand on this thing. Of course, he's a separatist, and he's one of the old timers. You know, he's not one of these new fellows in GRB. And he says he's been with him for 35 years. Well, let's see. I started with him in 1945 to 85, coming up on 40 years for me. So I've been 4 years beyond Dr. Nettleton, Dave Nettleton. I know him, as I say. But he says the GRBC has been over 35 years. In part, this is their statement of practice. Any Baptist church which is not in fellowship or cooperation with any local, state, or national convention, association, or group which permits the presence of liberals shall apply. In other words, he says you must come out from among them to come into the association. Come out if you want to come in. That's it. That caused fundamental churches to separate from other fundamental churches. Call it what you will, separation, secondary separation, or just total separation. The position is good and safe and scriptural, even though Micaiah's must sometimes stand against Jehoshaphat's when Jehoshaphat's insist on union with Ahab's. See, he goes to Ahab and so on. It is time to recognize the validity of a time-proven position instead of calling it a strange and extreme and ridiculous. Lines should be clearly drawn without confusion. Let those who stand for truth stand with each other and against error. Separation is not separation. Separating believers, compromises. That's how but it's a good little article.
The editor must have missed that.
Huh?
I said the editor must have missed
that. No, you see, he knew that, but it's a forum, see, and it's another view, as he says in the beginning, see. So let's see, how many are you be seeing? You'll be seeing just the one, or Steve?
No, I won't see Steve.
Oh, you won't
see
Steve. That's right.
Steve and I go to different
churches. That's right.
I'll see him when I give him his quote.
Oh, you see, why don't you take Steve then? Let's see, I'm going to try to figure out. No one but else has any kind of Phil and
Lou.
They're in a different area. Okay, we'll pick them up next time. I just thought this would be.
Doesn't he come out on Friday?
I don't know. I don't see him.
Who Lou?
Phil.
I thought he came out to school on Fridays.
Oh, I see.
I haven't seen him.
It's not like they usually calls up if he can't make it, unless he said something about last week that he couldn't make it. I don't remember though. I didn't register if it did. By the way, this whole idea of secondary separation is being discussed in Dr. Robert Sumner's paper, Biblical Evangelist. I don't know whether you're familiar with that paper or not. He's one of the GRB evangelists that Sumner is, but you see, Sumner is also for follow-up. See, the GRB takes different views on this follow-up situation. You got some strong anti-follow-up people. You got some people that are on the Council of 18, the governing council that was on the committee and spoke at follow-up's meeting, Baptist Fundamentalism 84. Dr. Dan Gillette is one, and so on. And in Sumner's paper, there's a very interesting article. Sumner backs Falwell on this whole thing, and the whole idea of what a fundamentalist is discussed in there. I differ with Bob Sumner on the thing. But Sumner has a whole number of quotations from old-time fundamentalists and that had nothing to do with separation. Fundamentalism is only doctrine, but not separation. I don't agree with that. It's strange, but he does a good job of arguing his point. And he quotes from the standpoint of personal separation. He talks about the man who, G. Campbell Morgan, who smoked so much that when he came to speak at Moody Bible Institute, they had to have a separate room for him so they wouldn't adversely influence the students to smoke. Can you imagine that? See, now he brings all this stuff up. Well, are they fundamentalists or are they not? And what if Falwell starts smoking? See, he gets all these things and quotations from people, sort of like a smoke screen. But the point of it is, if a fundamentalist believes the Bible, if the Bible teaches separation, then he's not a fundamentalist if he doesn't believe the Bible's doctrine of separation. That's my feeling, see. But see, Sumner, number one, Sumner didn't like the idea that fundamentalists ever use the King James Bible alone and not some other text and so on. He was trying to say that's not part of his, and he goes in on page 6, and he says, must one be a separatist to be, in the historic sense of the word, a fundamentalist? If so, what about one who does not hold to the so-called secondary separation, but who in one manner or another fellowships with an evangelical non-separatist? Is one who does so a pseudo-fundamentalist, a false, counterfeit, spurious, sham, pretended fundamentalist? What about the one who is totally orthodox or in doctrine, but remains in a denomination which where there are liberals? In other words, the whole thing. See, he's opening up such a can of worms. And he says, before proceeding further, perhaps we ought to state our own position. We are unashamedly, unabashedly fundamentalists, and we are by conviction separatists, both ecclesiastically and in social areas. Regarding the former, we think the National Council of Churches of Christ, to give the proper title, and the World Council of Churches are apostate organizations. We say so. We are opposed to denominations which have in leadership liberals. Well, then, if he's doing all this, why on earth is he bringing up this thing? Or can you call him fundamentalist or not? See, he's bringing up Falwell, and he's trying to protect it. He does a good job. It's on the other page, page 6 and so on, where he quotes some of these other men. And as I say, I haven't read it all, but just scanned down and examples of the problem. And then he goes to examples of the problem. And He talks about it. If an evangelical claims to be a fundamentalist state and is a apostate denomination, but almost on his deathbed, prayed publicly for the United States forces to be defeated when the country was at war, took an anti-Semitic stance in several areas, taught that the days of creation in Genesis were eons, not solar days, and gave unqualified support to the radical John Alexander Dowie. Should he be called a fundamentalist, a new evangelical or pseudo-fundamentalist? See, he asked various questions. And then he defines who that was, see. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that's where you have to pick up the pieces here. You see, he'd be number two, defeated. So number two is Dr. William Bell Riley, W.B. Riley. So you know, and W.B. Riley is the one that had Billy Graham as his next successor, the president of Northwestern Schools. And so on. That's interesting.
And he believed all those things?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Is that right?
I heard so before he was pretty loose.
Is that right?
It's interesting, all this, the man...
I'll have to make a copy of that.
Yeah, this is quite an article, and I think it's something that you fellows probably will be discussing. I'm sure Dr. Jordan will be bringing it out in chapter in some way or another. J. Frank Norris, he's number three. He thinks J. Frank Norris... if an evangelical claiming to be a fundamentalist had an interview with a fascist Mussolini and an audience with the Pope, shot and killed an unsaved man, jumped into partisan politics with both feet, advertised coming attractions for a local movie theater in his church, Narthex, almost turned the church auditorium into a zoo on occasion, had such a reputation for recklessness with the truth his fellow fundamentalists asked him to stop lying, boasted he would have an alliance with the devil if it were to his advantage. Should he be called a fundamentalist, a new evangelical or pseudo-fundamentalist? See, J. Vernon, see how he gets your mind in there, see? This whole thing, and of course, and see, Sumner knows the facts, and he digs these things up, see, and he's nobody's fool. He's a very sharp writer, and of course, but he's got to be answered, see? This can't go on unanswered. And this whole idea of secondary separation is right in the heart of it. And I got these two things the same week. And they're both the same issue. So I guess getting hot.
Well, it's getting hot.
All because
hot
of Falwell.
Yeah, because Falwell.
He's about.
That's the new evangelical movement.
That's right.
I understand that Falwell right now is where Billy Graham was.
That's right.
When he diverged.
Exactly right.
Just went totally bad.
That's right. And that's where he is. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Robert Ketchum when he.
Sure.
When he had out with Norris. Didn't Norris used to.
Oh, yes.
Used to pick on him.
Yes, years ago. That's right. No, I just read of that. Didn't know it, but I've read of that, yes, in History of Fundamentalism, especially.
I guess that was
before my time. I knew Dr. Ketchum, though, and he knows me, and before he died, and so on. And I was with him when he was with the American Council of Christian Churches, and I was with that organization for 6 years, 3 years, and three. And so I knew Dr. Ketchum, yes, and of course. But not at that, those early days when the GRB was just recently founded and formed. And Ketchum didn't want Norris to be in. Norris applied to get in there, but he was such a scoundrel that Ketchum suggested he would not accept him into the GRB because of his. And so he didn't come in, and various things like that. I don't remember all the details, but that's in the History of Fundamentalism. It's quite an interesting story by Dr. George Dollar. So, all right. Do you have your New Testaments? Did you have that page with you? You got it? Okay. Bill Larry, did you bring yours?
If you can go ahead. I'll run and get it.
I've got an extra. Sure. Go ahead. I've got plenty.
Thank you.
Take two. They're small. All right. Now, would one of you please read that? We're at verse 6.
We would be that far, wouldn't we?
Yeah. So... let's see. Go ahead. Just read the Penosa word, Larry. Go ahead. Start with it. Just take a line at a time. Wherever it ends up, just take a line. That's easy to follow. It. Agenito. Start with Agenito. Read it, and then we'll...
Agenito.
Mm-hmm.
Anthropos. Apistomenos. Menos. Apistomenos.
Uh-huh.
Para. Theu Anima
Anima
Auto
Auto, alright. That's the word anima. Remember we talked about the word sin anima, right? Synonym. Anima is noun or name. So agenita is an imperfect of genomai and genomi, and agenita. There came to be ginomai. No, excuse me, that's the aorist. And you see, ginomai is the root. And whenever you change the root from gin to gen, that shows that it's an aorist tense. It changes the root. Ginomai and agenita would be the aorist of the verb ginomai, which means to become, or there was. See, almost like a verb to be. There was anthropos is what?
Yeah.
A man, right? A man, there was a man. And then apostamenos. Now here's a combination of your apostello, isn't it? The very verb we had tonight. Now, you notice apostello has two lambdas, right? This one has how many?
Only one.
Therefore, and also apostello has an epsilon in the root. And what does this say?
Alpha.
Okay, now these are signs of the aorist tense, a sign of changed tense. It's not the same. The aorist always drops a lambda if it's got a double lambda, and it always, or usually changes the epsilon to alpha. See, alpha is a very beloved vowel, you might say, of the aorist tense. So, apostamenos. Now, this is a participle, and it is a middle and passive both participle. I guess it's a middle participle. So, there was a man who had been sent, you see, from, and then patheu. There's your preposition again. We learned that tonight, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
A man who was sent away, you see, apostello, sent away, and para in the sense of from, by God, theu. Now, para, we said, could be used with three different tenses.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, cases, there'd be no
ablative.
Page 43, and locative, and accusative. Now, which would this be?
Pratho. He's probably ablative.
Ablative.
Yeah.
So it's from God, from beside God, see, from God. Mm-hmm. And para, in this Dana and Matty, let's see, sense.
Is it possible to be locative in the location and in the realm of locative just means place?
Well, you see, we've got the ablative, that's the only problem.
Yeah.
So the locative has to be lid case. Locative instrument, if it were tha-o now. Tha-o, but see, tha-o is locative instrument. Let's see, there again.
Yeah. Right.
So there, again, right. Manny, that dictum takes place, doesn't it? That the case determines the meaning of that preposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Dictates. Let me see. Preposition 96.
We have to in this particular case.
Yes.
Obviously.
Right. 96. Let me see if I can find this para again in Dana and Matthew and see what his meanings would be. Yes, with the ablative from, like John 4:9, para emu, pain ites, ask a drink from me, of me, like going to the well, of me or from me in that sense. So this is a man sent. Who has been sent from God, from beside God. Para means beside. The root meaning of para is beside. And if you want to say who is sent from apostolo, see, apostolo is sent from, and then from beside God, you can put para, throw in there as an extra meaning, so right from beside God, right from where God was, see. In the sense of at least he was by God's authority. See, from God as to his authority. Okay, let's see. From his presence, not literally, but from his presence. All right, there was a man sent, who was sent from God. Now notice the apostolmenos is in the nominative, menos ending. See, because those, we haven't learned the participle endings like that, but the menos is just like anthropos. So it's a nominative, from God. Now, onoma, auto. Onoma is what?
Name,
right? Like we say, synonyma, same name, same noun. Or it means noun in the grammar, anonyma, but it's a name. A name is a noun, usually, so therefore it's a name. Now notice, name, auto. What case is auto? I mean, have we had autos yet?
No.
All right. Autos means the same with the self. If you think autograph, see.
Right.
Automobile, see. Mobile by itself.
Right.
But in the third person, or rather in the oblique cases, we call oblique cases, not the nominative, but the genitive, ablative, locative, instrumental, data, those are oblique cases. it means the third person pronoun, see, he or she if it's feminine, see, or it. In this case, it would be he, auto, it's a masculine. So, it's, and it's name to him. Name to him. And then the next word you're going to read, many, is Ioannis, John. Name to him, John. See, whose name was John is a perfectly good translation of, because the Greek says, the name to him, John. Now you see, Greek, like Hebrew, can always put in the verb to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, since it's the past, he put in was.
Mm-hmm.
The name, just say literally, a name to him, was. John. So was John, see. Mm-hmm. If a name to him was John, you can say, name to him means his name. So there's no problem. Just like in Hebrew, you have some of these to him. You remember all those funny things?
Mm-hmm.
But it just means his name was John. Or if you want to make it in the relative pronoun sense, you just say whose name. Instead of his name was John, you say whose name was John, because you're tacking that on to the end of the sentence. You got to make it all together. So it's beautiful, as the King James translation made, the man sent from God whose name was John. But literally, a name to him, John.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Manny, go right ahead with that second line. We've stolen a word from it. You can repeat it.
Well, I don't know. No. Ioannis.
Ioannis. Okay.
Ioannis. Hotos.
Now, this is a rough breathing here. It's hard to read there. What do you got there?
Hutos.
Hutos, that's good. This is smooth breathing, it's hard to read, but it is fun.
Okay. Eilten.
Eilten.
Eilten. Ace. Maturan.
Maturian.
Maturian. Hina. Hina.
Mm-hmm.
Maturain. Say, Perry.
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 Perry, huh?
Perry.
All right, so hutos. Haven't come up to that, but that means this one. Now, hutos not only means this one, but sometimes, well, if you say this one, you can say this one or this man, or you can say he, you know, almost, but it literally, hutos means this one. Now, don't confuse it with autos, which is the same, but hutos, rough breathing. This one, and it's a nominative case, this one, eilten is from erchomai, which means to come. And eilten is the aorist, it's past tense, so it's came, see, eilten. Erchomai, we haven't got erchomai yet, I don't think. But this one came, and then ace, martyrian, here's our ace again.
Right.
In this case, it's in the accusative as always. What does it mean? Take a look at the ace in our
into, but I don't know.
Into, all right. Martyrian is like martyr. It means witness. It means witness, martyrian. Now, we haven't gotten into that ending, but the eon is just like on. See, that is an earmark of the accusative case. Eon is just one of those endings. It's different. See, eon would be the first declension. See, we just had the second declension, which is a little different. But ace, in a root meaning, is within or in. Resultant meanings with accusatives into or unto, or to or for. It could be for, see. Now, that's what it is, for a witness, see, as a witness. Remote meanings, in, second one upon, third one against, fourth one among, fifth one with respect to, with reference to. And the sixth one, as. That's what it would be, as a witness, or with respect to a witness. Because of is another one, or for the purpose of. And that's even better, is ace. Is a regular use as a, for the purpose of a witness, as a witness. See, for the purpose of witnessing, as so he came as a witness or for a witness is a good translation. And martyrian, you think of the word martyr. Now, hina, we haven't had that yet, that means that,
yeah.
Or in order that. See, this is a purpose clause, it's purpose, in order that. Now, martyrese is the verb of martyrian is a noun, see, so this would be what? In order that, martyrese. This is a subjunctive. That he might witness or he might testify, see. That he might bear witness, see. That's what it is. In order that. Now, martyrese, it's a, as I say, it's a subjunctive the ending a, ada iota subscript, indicates that it is a subjunctive. We have, for instance, learned martoreo, martorei, epsilon iota, see, but the ada iota subscript, that shows that it's a subjunctive. In order that he might witness, or bear witness, or testify, peri, to photos, to photos is from phos, which is what? Phos is light, and photos, to photos. Now, this is the ablative, and it's a third declension. See, photos doesn't look like anything like an ablative. That's why you have a friendly article close by.
Yes,
to aid
help
to help you see that is an ablative, genitive ablative, and peri is means concerning. It really means around, you know, peri like a periscope to look around. But that he might bear witness concerning the light, peri. In other words, about the light or with reference to the light. So that's the meaning there. All right, let me see peri. All the different tenses that that might have, if it has more than one, sorry to keep them all, it has two tenses, genitive and accusative. The root meaning is around, peri, you know, like a periscope, that's a perfect thing, going around. The genitive case, it means about or concerning, so that's what it is, it's genitive, so it's about or concerning, about or concerning. If it's with the accusative, it means around or about, see, literally around. But the remote meaning in behalf of, or with, or in everything, see, free. But in this case, it certainly fits in to have it mean about or concerning. He witnessed or bear witness concerning or about to photos, about the light. And since it goes with the genitive, that's perfectly all right. That's what it means. All right, any questions on any of those words there? All right, why don't we take one more each, and then we'll take our exercises and see what time we have. All right, Larry, would you take that next line? Yeah, two photos.
Yeah, it was just a photograph.
Yeah, photograph. Oh, that's good. Yes, that's right. Photos and photos. Photografia, yeah, that's right. Photograph.
Two photos.
You see, that's interesting. See, the root is phos.
Mm-hmm.
See, phi, omega, sigma. See, that's the root.
Okay.
But then it goes into phos. Photos.
See?
Oh, okay.
See? That's
a
third declension.
Phos, that's third declension. See, that's third. And it goes phos, photos, photi, you know, like that. Photi, there's a certain end. You get the E, which is similar. You know, we have iota subscript.
Mm-hmm.
And so photi, you can see it's a day, the black and white day, like that, photi. And then I think it's photon or photane, see, in the accusative. But this is third declension, a little bit more weird than what we have, and that's why we postpone it until a little bit later. Let's see if I can take a look at this. If you take a look at your declension chart here, that might be a good thing to do. See for on page 2, see if we can find a third declension. Well, yes, we start third declension on page 2. And it's the 16th word, and the 14th word is one. And 14th, onoma, see, that's the word, the name. Onomatas, see, onomati, onoma, onomata. Now, the only verbal is that's a neuter. So let's take a look at he elpis, that's hope. You see that 15th one?
Mm-hmm.
He elpis. Elpidos, see the os in it, like photos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Elpidi, see that E, that's the ligaments of the Alpida, and then Alpis, and then Alpides, Alpidon, Alpisi, Alpidas, Alpidas. So Nux also, Nux is another third class. Nuctas, Nucti, see Nucta, Nux, Nuctes, Nucton, Nuxi, Nuctas. So they see, you got the endings, Grace, Charis, Charitas, Charity. So Phos is one of them, and I don't know whether we take Phos. I guess we don't take Phos in this particular book, but it's similar to these others near the end. So that's the third declension. But photograph, that's very good. That's all in there. All right, Larry, go right ahead with your reading. Pardon the interruption. You were saying two photos, right?
Hina.
Mm-hmm. Hina.
Pantes.
Pantes.
Pisteo masosi.
All right, pistelsosi. Try it. Pistelsosi.
Pistelsosi.
Okay.
What's that, an apostrophe?
That's an ellipsis. See, you leave off the dia. See, remember, like the preposition we learned tonight, when in the presence of another word starting with a vowel, you drop that last vowel. Dia is a preposition. And since there's two vowels coming together, you put D. Apostrophe. That's an ellipsis. A shortening.
D out to. Auk.
Ook.
Oops.
Ook. That's a homogram.
Ook. Hen.
No, ain. That's a rough reading. A smooth reading. Excuse me. It's hard to read.
In.
Ain.
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 Akenos.
Akenos. All right. So, peri tu photos, concerning the light. He came in order that he might witness concerning the light. Then henna pontes. Henna was what again?
That.
That, or in order that, it's a well, conjunction. See, a conjunction of purpose. In order that, see, a conjunction of purpose. In order that, or so that. Pontes, that's from pas, pas, upon. Do we have that yet? You can probably guess what that is. Pas means all. Pontes, like a Pan American Games, you know, pon, that pon. And this is pontes. This is, again, a third declension. Mm-hmm. And this is nominative plural, pontes. That's just the ending, the nominative plural. That all people, that all men, you might say, all people, everyone, plural, that all, they all, pistelsosi. This is pistello, which means
to believe.
So pistelsosi, this is not pistelosi, but pistels. It's got a sigma in it. That sigma indicates an error. It's a sigmatic error, so-called. And pistisosi indicates it's a subjunctive also. And so that would be in order that all might believe, that they might believe. And then D is dia. What would that be? Be through. That's right. That might be through him. And I'll see again, you have the same word, autu. Remember the oblique case is autos, which is self or same. Autu means through him. Mm-hmm. That's the third person pronoun. They don't have any other separate one in Greek. You have separate ones for I, which is ego, and for you, and thou, si. But this takes over in the bleak cases of him, autu, through him. That's the means. Now that dia with the genitive or ablative, root meaning is two. The root meaning of dia is two. Duo, which is delta epsilon omicron, duo means two. Double life is a dualism. In composition, it means two, between or through. Result meaning with the genitive case is through. With the accusative case, because of. Or for the sake of. So there are two cases this is used with. The genitive, of course, is the one here, and it's through, always through. It's like a means, through or by means of. So that all men, that all individuals might believe, pistelsosi, through him. Now I was going to look at the verb chart, if you have your verb chart there, and see the first aorist, and take a look at column 4. Did you bring yours, Larry? You didn't bring it? Okay. Yeah. All right, that's all right. The first aorist, which is column 4. Do you find your verb sheet there?
Yeah, I got it.
That's your nouns.
Yeah, I just had my verb.
Maybe it's underneath the everlasting arms there. They kind of go all together there.
Disorganization.
Is that it there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now notice that 1, 2, 3, 4, first error,
mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I go down to subjunctive,
mm-hmm.
And see it says li-o-si.
Mm-hmm.
See? The O-C ending? All right, notice it's li-o-si. Don't forget the sigma. Yeah, that's the sigmatic error. See, you always have a sigma throughout that whole era of stem, mm-hmm, see? Mm-hmm. And the lusosi, the osi ending, is a subjunctive. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have here, pistelsosi.
Okay.
It's the aorist and it's the subjunctive in order that they might, see? It's contrary to fact, it's doubt, that's the subjunctive end of it, the foreseen. Yes, sir?
Okay. This out two.
Uh-huh.
What is that?
That's autos. Now, autos is the word, and that means self or same, see? Like automatic or automaton or autograph. It's your own grapho. It's your own writing, see? But in the oblique cases, see, autos is a nominative case. Oblique cases meaning genitive or ablative, locative, instrumental, dative. Autu or auto, that autos means him. It's a regular third person personal pronoun, him, or if it's in the feminine case, it means her or she, see? So that's what that is. Out to and out to means him, in this case, through him, you see. That's just the regular use. They don't have any other special word for the third person singular. They do for the first person, ego, I. For the second person, si, sigma, epsilon. Third person, this is it. Out to or out to. That's it. Now, if they say he went somewhere, I don't know what they would use. I don't recall what they would use in the nominative. He went. It's actually in the verb itself. You know, when you say lui or luis lue, that means he, she, or it went without any pronoun in needed. So I think that's all they do. They just cut back to the verb itself and they rely upon that. All right, di out to through him. They might believe through him. Now, uk ein ekenos. Now, what is uk? We've had that, haven't we?
No. I think it is not.
That's right. Now, u is the regular word for not, but in the presence of a vowel, you must have a kappa. And the andra, see, uk.
In the presence of a vowel,
that's
you
right.
Must have a kappa.
See, in other words, instead of u-ain,
okay,
it'd be uk-ain, see. In every other place where you have a consonant, the following, it's just like ek. In the presence of a vowel, remember, it turns into x, exodus,
mm-hmm,
the way out.
Mm-hmm.
So with the u, turns into ek. Now, u-ain, what is ain again? We met upon that in verse 1 from ami, which is the verb to be. So it's the imperfect of the verb to be, which is was. Alright? Not was, or in this sense, this is third person singular. He was not. Ekenos is the word that. Hutos, we've met hutos in verse 7. That's this right here. Ekenos is that over there. This and that. So hutas is this, ekenos is that. That's what you call a demonstrative pronoun. You have to demonstrate,
right,
the point about it. You have a demonstrative pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
And the hutas is the one right closest to you, the ekenos, the one farthest, the remote.
Okay.
So we'll let it go at that. It's interesting to note that you can tell the former and the latter from this too, in the discourse. When you say John and Bill took Greek last year, the former, who would that be? John and Bill took Greek. The former would be what?
John.
And Bill took Greek last year. If I say John and Bill took Greek last year, the latter, who would I refer to? John or Bill?
Bill.
John and Bill took Greek. The latter. Now, in Greek, which one do you think would be referring to the latter, the one closest here? Hutos or Akenos? This, which is Hutos, or Kenos, which would be that.
Probably the opposite.
No, it's exactly what you think. It would be what?
The same.
Which would it be?
That.
That one? The latter?
The latter.
The latter right here?
The latter would be the former. The old.
The latter would be the former, because that's way back there, that
back
one.
Then.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And but this one right here, that's the former.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse me, the latter. The former is back here, the latter. See, John and Bill took Greek last year.
Right.
The latter, which means Bill, would be Hutos. This one right closest, I just said, is closest to you. The former would be that one way back there that I named several words before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kenos. That's a technicality. And by the way, that same distinction prevails in Spanish as well as in French, and probably Italian, and also I believe in Latin. See,
mm-hmm,
this is just the way they do things. You get the former and the latter. Very neat, these languages. Very neat. I don't know that Hebrew has any former and latter because they're not that tight, you know, and specific and detailed. The Greek has got everything all tied up. So this is akenos and hutos right there in this almost the same breath. Okay, one more Manny, and then we'll take our exercises.
Ta, pos.
Mm-hmm. All right, see there again, we've dropped out something, haven't we? It's Allah. Allah, and which is?
But.
But.
Mm-hmm. Hena.
Not Hena, but.
Hena.
Hena.
Hena. To race, race.
Mm-hmm. Arturese.
Arturese. Pere. Pere.
Peri. Peri. Yeah, probably Peri. Yeah, Peri. Yeah, this is the thing with this accent. Usually we hit that hard with a long. See, Peri. Peri.
Peri.
Peri. With a little bit of a ro. Ro. Go ahead.
To.
Not to, but to.
To. Fos.
Not fos, but.
Votos.
Votos, all right.
Ain.
Not rubbery, but smooth. Ain.
Ain. Ta. Fos. Ta.
Okay. So, tafos. Uk ain ekenos tafos. He was, excuse me, not that light.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say that one, ekenos, which is in the nominative, was not the light. See? Either one. You can say either tafos was not ekenos, the light was not that one, or you can say that one was not the light. See, either way, because tafos could be accusative or tafos could be nominative. Because that's, remember, that's neuter.
Mm-hmm.
And the neuter, the ta, could be either. And ekenos has to be the nominative, has to be. But in the presence of the verb to be, ain, you see, you can switch it, because the verb to be takes a nominative. It can't take a direct accusative object. Mm-hmm. You never say, you're not supposed to say, I am him, you're supposed to say, I am he.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am is not supposed to take anything but the nominative case in English. People make a lot of mistakes on that. It is I, be not afraid. Not it is me. After the verb to be is, it should take a nominative, it is I, not the objective, it is me. So the same with Greek. So it was not that light. Again, al, it stands for Allah, and because of the presence of a vowel to start it, you have to drop it off. Al, instead of Allah, hina, you say al hina. And then hina is what?
Yeah.
In order of that, it's a conjunction of purpose. Marturese, that's our friend. Martureo, what's that verb?
Witness.
All right, that he might bear witness, that he might be a martyr, marturese in the sense of bearing witness. Peri tu photos, again, same phrase we had before. What's that? Peri? Concerning. Concerning, or about tu photos, photos in the genitive as well. Concerning the light. All right, that he might bear witness concerning the light. Then ein tafos to alethanon.
Was
in the sense of he was,
mm-hmm.
Ta fos, the light, ta alethanon, the true one. See, instead of aletheia, which is truth, which is the noun, alethanon, alethinos, is the adjective. See, the true one,
mm-hmm.
The true light. That was the light, the true one. And that's the use of the article as an article of previous reference. The light, the true one. See, the true light. Ha fotidze, who lights every man coming into the world. So this is, we'll stop right here, indicating ended. And we'll put our date here at 10:25, and then we'll go back to our sentences. I just wanted to get a little bit of the reading in, because I think it's good each time to keep us fresh, and we learn a few things from the inductive method as well as from the traditional grammar method. All right, would you exchange your papers then, please? We have. You don't have one? You didn't?
No.
Okay, well, let's see.
Well,
you
here you are.
Now, why don't you, Manny? Well, you help me, but I'm going to say we ought to also grade your other one, don't we? You want to get
it's
that
on
one?
There, yeah.
What's on? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can catch both of them.
Okay.
Now, tonight we had 10, did we?
We had.
Refresh my memory on the.
I thought we had 50. What is it?
Lessons 10 and 10, 11 and a half. Or we just took one lesson, didn't we? Just took one.
Was it one?
I think so, because we just took up to 11 and a half. This paragraph 62.
Oh, okay. I had two, but I missed one.
Yeah, all right. Paragraph
62.
All right. What do we have here? Read that first one.
Upon time.
What's your accent?
Let. Mm-hmm.
Blepontai. Blepontai, meaning?
They are being seen, or they are seen.
Our present is passive, right? They are
being
seen. Is that right? They are being seen, or they are seeing.
They are.
Let's see, they are being seen, yeah. This would be your passive.
It would be your
present, wasn't it? Present. Blepo.
Present, indicative, passive.
Indicative, passive, yes. Present, indicative, passive. Just like we've had the Luai, Luai. So I don't know what that
could be middle.
It could be middle.
Could be. Well, yeah, they are seeing themselves.
Mm-hmm. They are seeing themselves.
In the mirror.
In the mirror, right. Luai, same form. So it could be either one. They are seeing themselves, or they are being seen, right? They are being seen. All right, what is Pimpatai?
Pimpatai. Oh, well, it's Pimpatai. he, she, it is sending? It's being
it's
sent.
Sending or being sent,
it's
right?
Being sent or sending themselves.
Sending themselves or being sent. All right, that's either middle or passive, present indicative, middle or passive.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next one?
Akuis.
Akuis.
That would be a
cool. Let's just plain a cool. So it's a present, regular present.
You are hearing.
Thou art hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Second person singular. Thou art hearing. You are hearing. Singular. And then akue. Akue.
Singular. The second person.
Singular. Okay. Means, thou art. You singular.
You are being heard.
Are being heard, or you're hearing yourself,
you
right?
You're hearing yourself.
You're being heard or you're hearing yourself. Context for determined. Mm-hmm. Any questions on one then? All right, number two says what?
Sodze.
Sodze. All right, sodze means what?
You are saving.
You are saving.
Singular.
Mm-hmm. You are saving. Singular. You save or you are saving?
He
is saving or?
She is saving.
All right. Sodzo, sodze, sodze. All right. So what's the next one?
Soamatha.
What's your pronunciation of Zeta?
Sozomatha.
Sozomatha, right? What is that? Sozomatha. From Sozo to save. Sozomatha is we.
We are being saved.
We are being saved or we are saving ourselves. Okay? That's impossible, so I have to be
the other.
That's right. And you know, there are some passages in the scripture where you have this very word used. And those that believe in works, translate with the middle. Those that don't, translate with the passive. We are being saved. Very interesting. In the book of Acts, and I think even in John, we come up against that. But there again, it's interpretation and the strength of what the other scriptures teach us. All right, what's the next one?
Krinomai.
That's from krino, meaning I
judge.
So krinomai would be what? I am judging, or I am being judged, or I am judging myself. Right?
Right.
What's the next one?
Agatai.
Agatai. That means from ago.
Is leading.
Kishirit is leading, or is being led, rather, or leading himself. All right, is being led, or leading himself. Any questions further on two? All right, let's go then. Three is what?
Didasko,
meaning
I am teaching.
All right, I am teaching or I teach. The next one?
Didaskaman.
Didaskontai. All right, what does that mean?
They are being taught.
They are being taught or they are
teaching themselves.
Teaching themselves, self-taught.
people. All right, what's the next one?
Bale.
Bale. What's your accent? Bale means?
Bale. He or she is throwing.
He, she, or it is throwing. All right, he, she, or it is throwing, or he throws. And the next one?
Bale.
Balatai.
Okay, he, she, or it is being thrown.
Is being thrown or is throwing himself, herself, right? He is throwing himself or he is being thrown. It'd be terrible to be thrown in the river, wouldn't it, or somebody.
Yeah.
All right, any questions on three? All right, how about four? What's that? That's a sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Read that.
Necron.
What does that say? Gero is to rise up.
Yeah.
Right?
You.
You plural. Ye.
Rising up.
Rising up.
Are you being raised up from the dead?
You are being raised up from the dead ones, from among the dead ones, from the dead. That's good. All right, Necron. Any questions on that? All right, number five. Read that.
Halagos. Halagos.
Daskatai.
And to
hero.
Hero.
Hero. Yeah, just to hero. Right? What does that say?
Word is being taught.
The word is being taught.
In the temple.
In the temple. All right, any question on five? The word is being taught. Or it's teaching itself, which wouldn't make much sense, so being taught would be about the only one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number six, read that sentence.
Hoi.
Duloi. Stalontai.
Ace.
Ton.
Oikon.
Oikon. All right. Which says what?
The servants.
Servants.
Are being sent.
Are being sent.
Into the crowd?
Into the house. Yeah. Ochlos to be crowd, but oikon to be the house.
Crowd. Didn't I say crowd?
Yeah, crowd.
That's wrong.
Yeah, Achlas, you think of Achlas, the oikon. Into the house. All right, any questions on six? Servants are being sent into the house, or sending themselves, either one. All right, number seven, read that, please.
Gratatai.
And
to.
Nomo. Which is what?
He is writing as big women. It is being written in the law.
It is being written, or it writes itself, it is being written
in the law.
Okay, I think that's right. It is being written, probably the only thing in the law.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess it could have been, it could be he.
He is writing in the law, that's right. He is writing.
He is being written.
He is being written in the law. Yeah, I guess so. But it wouldn't make so much sense.
It didn't jive, so.
Now, see, it is being written. Sometimes you say it stands written if it were in the perfect gegraptai, but this is present. So it is written. It is being written, rather, in the law. Or he is being written in the law. Probably it is written, being written. All right, the eighth one. Any questions on the seventh? All right, go to the eighth one. Read that, please. Pistawusi.
Ace.
Ton.
Kurion.
Accent.
Kai. Sodzantai.
All right, what do we have on that one?
They are believing.
They are believing. Regular, present, indicative, active.
In the Lord,
based on Twitter.
And they are being saved.
They are being saved, that's right. And again, it's not save themselves, they're saving themselves, but they're being saved.
Yeah.
Any questions on eight? All right, nine.
Kranamatha.
Curio. All right, what do we have in the...
You are being judged.
Not you, but
we are being judged. Under?
Or we are judging ourselves. Under or by?
By the Lord.
The Lord. We are being judged by the Lord.
Because under is accusative, by is ablative.
Ablative, that's right. You got it. All right, any questions on that? All right, let's go on then to English to Greek. English to Greek, he sends and is sent, is what? He sends, of course, the word is pimpo.
Role. I use pimpo instead of stello. Stello.
Either one. Then make it either one, no.
Okay.
Pimpo, he sends would be what?
Okay, it would be, he sends pimpe.
Pimpe or stele, either one. Pimpe or stele, and he is okay. Is sent. Which is being sent, in other words.
Pimpatai,
all right. He is sent or he is being sent. Pimpatai.
Stella. Stellatai.
Stellatai, uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, the next one. He believes and is saved.
Okay.
From pisteo, he believes.
Pisteo,
he believes and is saved, which is your passage.
Kai sozotai.
Sozotai. He believes and is saved. Sozotai.
Right.
Any questions on that one? He believes and is saved. All right, the word is proclaimed in the temple. It would be what? Nominative here, ha?
Logos.
Is proclaimed, the word proclaimed, keruso, probably.
Kerusatai,
yeah. It is proclaimed.
To. Payroll.
The temple. Ento hiero. Any questions on that one? All right. The Son of Man is judged. Again, the passive.
All right.
Nominative the Son.
Huios.
The Son of Man,
anthropu,
of man.
Put the article.
They usually put a lot of articles, I think.
Anthropu,
maybe not.
Is
judged.
Krinatai.
Is being judged or is judged.
Right.
See, now when you say is judged, that is passive, see. Is judged by someone else. So
right.
The same as saying is being judged. They just is judged as are.
Right.
Okay. Any questions on four? All right, the number five. The stone is thrown into the house.
Ha lithos.
The stone is thrown.
Balatai. Ace. Tom. Oikon.
All right, Aston
Oikon.
All right, into the house, the accusative, right? Aston Oikon. Stone is thrown into the house. All right, any questions on five? All right, try six. The bread is taken from the apostle, which would be ablative, probably.
Okay.
The bread is nominative.
Arctos,
the bread is taken. That would be your
Lambanatai.
Right. Probably it's let's see, you said the bread is taken. Lambanatai?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, that's okay. The bread, Arctos.
Oh, I could also.
No,
they have parallel bottom, but you know the parallel bottom. Okay. But that's well, next that week.
Word.
I haven't got that word. Okay, so I don't know
that I know.
About that. From the apostle, did you take that with it?
Okay.
Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
To
apostolou.
Apostolou. Apostolou. Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions on that one, number six?
Mm-hmm.
You are being seven, you're being judged by the Son of Man. You are judged.
Krenae.
All right. Krenae. With Ada, you're a subject, right?
Yes.
Okay, you are being judged. Okay.
Krenae.
By the Son of Man.
So that would be by. So
Hupa, probably. Hmm?
We haven't gotten by.
We haven't got Hupa. Yes, we have. Hupa was last, this, today's,
what
was
it?
Hupa. Remember, that was in today's
vocabulary.
Yeah,
that's right. I
page 39.
Okay.
Excuse me, under.
And that would be taking the ablative, which would be
two, anthropo, right?
And there'll be two anthropo.
You, two, anthropo.
That's so
right.
Take the ablative.
That takes the ablative, right. Yours is hupa. Let me just
right.
See.
Okay.
Is
that
what it says? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. Ablative and accusative, either one.
Okay. Well,
accusative is under,
yeah.
But ablative is by.
Right.
So it's
okay.
An agency.
Okay.
All right. So add them up, subtract. It's 87 points there, Larry. 87 points is our base. Fairly broad on that.
You got 85 and 87.
Okay, that's 85. That's 97.7, 98%. 98%.
I put that other lesson on this same sheet here.
Okay, should we take a look at what do you got there? What sort of.
It's a translation and a. Translation. Greek to English, English to Greek. That's 56, page 39.
Let's see now, Larry, you took this. Did you take this? Oh, you got a 98% of the that's from tonight. Right, Larry?
Yeah, you did, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I mean, you got one in your quiz, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you have it right there, that other one? Let's see if we can... you didn't have exercise tonight, right, Larry?
No, I had last week, so...
Let's see if we can whip those out, man. You want
to
take what do you need? Was that
we
last
have...
What lesson is it? So
page 39, lesson 56.
39, lesson 56, okay.
I think that's...
Yeah, exercise 56, all right. So we had Agarazatai is what? What do you got? Read off what your answer
is. Oh, each year it is buying for himself.
That's good. So last day?
You keep yourself.
That's
see
good. Power am I?
I am stopping myself.
Good. Neptomai?
I am washing my face.
Talk possible. Good. Philosophy? Apo?
He is guarding himself from the world.
Good. Hadulos? Agarazatai?
The servant is buying for himself the boat.
The boat, okay. Aptomai? Luamatha?
That's
right. Aptomatha?
Okay, five.
Uh-huh.
Five is we are fastening ourselves and are washing ourselves.
All right, good. Six.
Okay, we, you plural, are stopping yourselves, and he is saying.
No,
I messed that up.
They're speaking.
They are
stopping
saying.
And they are saying. Yeah, they are saying.
I missed that.
They're saying for themselves or by themselves. So. All right, you got that?
Yeah.
All right, he ceases. You got that? He ceases.
He ceases.
From Palomar.
Palomar.
Pavatai. All right, they wash themselves?
Luantai,
right. Two, you buy bread for yourself?
Agra.
Agra.
Agra. Agarazze.
Arton. Yes. Out for yourself? For yourself? Did you say auton? Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that should be auto, should it not? Auto
for yourself?
No,
this is... I view this as being
just in one possible way. You're right, yeah. You don't need the preposition. Right. You have to refer yourself. All right, the apostle washes his face or the face. Apostolos.
Apostolos.
All right, washes.
Niptitai.
The face. Ha. Ta. Prosopon. Ta. Prosopon. Right? Ta. Right, four. The child guides himself from the man.
Okay. Ta.
Technon.
Vlasitai.
Right?
To.
From apo.
Apo.
To.
Anthropu.
Anthropu. All right. Mark that. Pardon me?
You need to have that
upon. Not necessarily. 43 points on that, and I'll email it. Manny, and let's see, the other one you had was 68 points on paragraph 50. You took both of them last time, right?
Right. We had grade the other one already.
Uh-huh. You had grade, yeah. 50 right. And 43 is 100 and, let's see, 111.
No, so what's that for? Just the...
that's for... That's for all. We're both of them.
From last week or this week?
Yeah, that's from last week. No,
that's okay. So that's 101.
That's 111.
111.
Mm-hmm. That's the base.
Okay, I got 110 on that.
I make that 100%.
Okay.
All right. 100%. Very good. All right. That winds up that, and that takes care of your exercise from last time. Now.